Hello and welcome to the Metapod Podcast, the Pokemon podcast that revolves around the evolving meta. Starting off 2024, the new year, because at the time that you're listening slash watching and the time that we're recording this, it is the new year. Happy New Year, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. Happy New Year. I'm back in my space.
Me too.
It probably looks a little different because I had an accident. Mm-hmm. in my space, and there was a layer of water, very small layer of water all across the basement floor. Luckily, everything that I own is on legs, so everything I own is fine. But it needed to be dried, and they need to do some work. So that's why we couldn't record going into the Christmas week.
So. Yeah, that's why it was just a lone 20-minute Jake episode.
A Jake audio-only special.
Audio-only in his parents' closet with these headphones that I'm wearing, like the default iPhone headphones with the mic that sounded awful. But it was just a coinkadink of events that spewed, but... we're back in action. I'm back here. Sean's back there. Did you have like a pipe break or something, or pipe leak?
It was just like a sink thing. It's complicated. It wasn't really anything that interesting, to be honest. It was just a little accident. And the thing is, it sounds like a lot of water, but it was a very thin layer across the whole basement floor. So
it's still like water, though.
That's the thing, right? Like, and I'm still sitting there going, I got to get this out. So I called some people, and it's taking a little longer than I was hoping, but insurance.
Well, it's cold over there.
It's just cold. Insurance. It's the insurance with the holidays and getting people's time. Whatever. Yeah.
I'm working right after we're recording this.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, I guess for you, college sports, man, this is a big time of year.
Yeah, so. But hey, it's fine. It's not anything crazy. I'm just wanting to get ahead of stuff before school gets going. But we're not a college athletics or a home improvement podcast, Sean. We're a Pokemon TCG podcast. Ready to get you, I think this is episode number 170. 170 episodes of the podcast. So we had probably around like 50-some episodes throughout the year. So we've got a couple of things that we want to talk about today. One being what I would consider the bulk of this episode. We've got, like we mentioned in previous episodes, but in case you didn't hear from there, we put together some categories of like 2023 categories or 2023 awards, you know, ranging from like best card to favorite card to different types of things. So Sean and I are going to go through, and I think we talked about we're going to do a 3-2-1 count and then say what we well, think it is, and if we're the same, it's awesome, but if not, then we talk about them, I guess.
We can debate it, and look, these are our personal opinions, so I'm sure many of you might disagree.
Actually, mine is factual evidence. The other thing that we'll talk about, and I alluded to it last week on the podcast, is Aspex are back. We'll talk about those later. If you didn't hear last week's episode where I went over what each of the effects are, we're going to go a little bit more in depth about how we personally feel about those cards in the Aspex direction, where it started out. So yeah, but Sean, are you ready to lose these arguments?
Oh, gloves are off. Gloves are off. Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. No, gloves stay on. I'm soft. Anyways, so the first category that we've got is best card. So I've tried to make these somewhat like, what's the word that I'm looking for? Vague. I've tried to make these categories like vague in a sense to have our own personal interpretation. There's been no discussion between Sean and I in the last hour of what these could be for each of us. So it's going to be a surprise, and it'll be interesting to see at least this one, how we determine the best card. So are you ready, Sean?
Yeah. We're going to go 3-2-1. All right.
Okay. 3-2-1 and then say it.
Yeah. And then we'll say it after
3-2-1. Okay, cool. Cause I always get that wrong. I always say go. Okay. I'm glad we went over that. All right. 3-2-1. Miriam special illustration. Ooh, four Sealstones, cool.
Okay, so you went like the collector route, as like favorite card just in general.
So I don't disagree with. Yes and no. I went with it as like, I mean, it's like one of my favorite cards. Not only because of like the collector value, but also because I think it's just really, really cool.
Yeah.
Cycling back the Pokemon like Brock's Grit did, you know, because I played Brock's Grit at one point in 2019 or 2020 in my Sheninja control. And so that kind of gives me a little bit of flavor of that card. And it draws three, which, you know, is a nice little boost to it. Unfortunately, it's just not that good.
Well, I will say this. The draw three, I think, is what pushes the card over the edge from, like, the Brock's Grits of the day. Because, like, okay, you shuffle them in, but that's probably because you want them, right? And then you get to draw three on top of that. And I'm like, yeah, it basically puts every hop and how and all the cards that just draw three. It's like, you're kind of pointless in comparison, but sure.
So you said four Sealstone?
I did. I did. So this was my best card. Probably, you know, it might also be some people's just overall best card of the last year. But for me,
I think that's a fair take.
It is a heavy hitter of a card. I think it currently, so many decks are still using Vs, and even decks that may not play a V normally will run one V and a Forest Sealstone just because that effect is so strong.
Rotom, Pidgeot.
Yep. Pidgeot. Mm-hmm. Pidgeot's a great example, right? And you'll run it and it's just, especially since we have things like Battle VIP Pass in format. So, you know, if you're playing any sort of setup deck, you might run a couple of Forest Sealstones and a Squawkabilly. I mean, I'm just thinking about like the Iron Valiant Entei deck. The reason that deck is so good is because you can go quickly and still have a Forest Sealstone option to grab whatever that last piece of the puzzle you need. Yeah. Self-explanatory.
I'm not going to fully agree with you because I'm going to stick by my Miriam, but I do really like Forest Sealstone. I think over time I've enjoyed it more and more because, like, yeah, it's a grab any card kind of thing, but especially since the Errata of Tools, I've kind of really enjoyed the Errata of Tools. I've really liked that change that they've made, but also just like being the V-Star power, I think is really, really cool. I think it was a interesting thing that maybe I didn't enjoy at first, but like over time, and especially as we got more into like the EX era, and as you talk about like, you know, kind of more niche situations of using that card, you know, with specific Pokemon and stuff, I think has just been really nice over time.
Yeah. And it gives a lot of decks that like want to utilize a V-Star ability, but don't want to throw in a 2-2 line of Arceus or whatever. I don't know. It just like says like, hey, we get it. Like, you want to use a V-Star ability, but we also want you to play EXs. You know, just two little cards, and then you can play Arvin, and you can just go get it. It's fine. And we have it for a whole nother year. I was, like, doing some... When we get to the A-Spec stuff, but I was, like, looking at some cards to say, like, what regulation mark? And Forest Sealstone is an F regulation mark. So, got a whole nother year with that one.
And also, just, like, it's really... What was I going to say with that? It's interesting with Arvin, too, that, like, I feel we never saw Arvin in... It's been around since the beginning of Scarlet and Violet, but it didn't get start playing until, like, Charizard came out, right? Yeah. Nobody was playing Arvin until Charizard came out and required, like, rare candy. And then everyone's like, oh, wait, Arvin's kind of cracked. And then they started putting it in like any deck that played for Sealstone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
It's crazy. And we had Irida for so long.
Well, yeah, and Irida, you know, Irida would get you an item, but it doesn't get you the Forest Sealstone. So all of a sudden, it's like, oh, shoot, in certain decks, like maybe even in water decks, Arvin, well, probably not, but it's still really good.
So, Sean, are you ready to go to worst
card? Yes, I will... So yeah, we'll go to worst card, and then we'll explain what our own thought process was.
I'm also curious about how you're going to interpret worst card. Because I like saw it when I thought of it and sent it to you, and I was like, This could be taken in like 12 different ways.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. 3, 2, 1. Klefki.
Oh, dude. We both said that's crazy. Let's go. That's awesome.
Okay. Why do you hate Klefki?
I hate Klefki because like on the surface, it was like, oh, this is great. This is a nice counter to Comfy. It's a nice counter to like all of these basic non-rule box Pokemon that have an ability that you're like, I really need to slow them down. But then it's in the same format as Escape Rope, one. It turns off your own stuff, which like is a problem for a lot of decks. And so the only way it's worked, at least this year, the only way it works is if you have two of them. And I'm like, I'm not going to play two fucking Klefkis on the field. This isn't worth it. It's, and even against, even if you stop Lost Box for like a turn or two, which you think is like, oh, that's so good, you're probably slowing yourself down in the process too. And it just, it nets out to be pointless. So that's my thought.
I feel like every time I've lost, or every time I've played against a Klefki, I've lost. Because I'm, because I've decided, yeah, like I hate it. I hate the card. Like I don't, it's one of those cards that like you're never going to tech against because it's not popular enough to like really influence the meta a ton. But every time I face it, I'm playing some like jank deck. I'm playing like Noivern or something. And I'm like, why am I losing to Noivern this bad? And it's just, man, I know there's been some cool stuff with the card. Like, who was it? Christian Fontenot. I think it was won the regional with Arceus Klefki or a Klefki. I could be just making that up. Somebody did something really good with Klefki at one point in Europe, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, I hate the card. I hate the card. I don't like it. Stop playing it.
I like how we arrived at the same conclusion, but your criteria where you hate the card. And my criteria was the card is trash. It's kind of overrated. Like,
yeah. Interesting. All the homies hate Klefki. Yeah. Nice. Well, that was cool.
That was great. That was easy.
I think out of all the categories, that was not the one that I expected that to happen.
Because like you said, you could take it so many directions. It could be most disappointing, most just like generally worst card. Like I'm sure there's a card that nobody ever thinks about that it's like the art is bad, the attacks is bad, everything about the card is
something
bad.
From the Pokemon Go set.
Right. Like there could just be a card that's like, why was this printed? But no, it was Klefki.
All right. So now we've got favorite deck. So this could be like favorite deck that you've played. This could be like favorite deck that you watched on like a stream or something. Just favorite deck overall in the meta.
Yep.
All right. So 3, 2, 1. Charizard. Okay. I almost thought about Charizard. I respect that. I respect that.
So you go first this time, Jake. Why? What made Chen Pao your favorite deck?
Chen Pao was very nostalgic to me. In a sense, I would say like my first legitimate deck was Shintaro Ito's Blounds GX from 2019 Worlds, where he got second. And Chen Pao is very similar in Blounds GX, where you just put a bunch of energies everywhere and then you just blow stuff up for like infinite damage. It's a little bit different, but I do also, and then comboed with that, I really, really liked Baxcalibur as well. Just like flooding the board with energies. I enjoy decks that either do a lot of things or I guess attaching a lot of energies is doing a lot of things, you know, like doing a lot of things in one turn or like, you know, flooding with something, whether that's flooding with Pokemon, flooding with energies, you know, stuff like that. So Chen Pao was really up my alley, and I played that deck for a bit, and I really, really enjoyed it.
I feel like that's interesting because you like both control-y style decks or
that play
glass
a lot
cannons
in a single turn. Yeah.
Or glass cannons. You're like on the opposite ends of the spectrum, I feel.
Yeah, I don't like being the norm. I don't like being a normie. Charizard? No, never me.
Mid-range? Please don't want none of that.
Why do you like Charizard so much?
I mean, I gotta say, for me personally, Charizard was the first deck that I won a league challenge with. I've been playing for years. I've come in second and third, like not a small number of times, and I've never won. And so I finally got a league challenge win, and it was with Charizard. So I got to give it some love for that. And then, yeah, I don't know. I just it's a deck that I enjoy playing. It's fun. It feels like Pidgeot is just such a good card. Charizard is just so beefy, and like I think the deck is only gonna get more interesting over time because basically all of the pieces for Charizard, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong a little bit, but I believe most of the pieces for Charizard stay in place over the next year. Like I can't remember.
I think so.
I think Entei maybe rotates. So if you love the Entei,
you don't play Entei anymore.
Yeah. So like I think Radiant Charizard is F. I think that was a Pokemon Go card. I could be wrong. Someone will correct us in the comments. But outside of that, like every other piece of the puzzle for Charizard stays, and you're only going to get more fire support, right? Like they, it's weird that they haven't printed as much fire support in the last, I would say, year as they normally do. But we do have the stadium, and they printed that Mila card, the one that attaches fire energy.
Oh yeah,
and I'm
haven't.
And to me, like that says that, like okay, they're thinking ahead. Like there's gonna be another good fire thing coming up, and you know I don't know what that's gonna look like. I don't know what that's gonna be, but I just think it's a card to keep your eye on. As like it'll just get better over time.
I think. When you talk about the support, like fire support, I think giving support to types is interesting because we have many cards now in format that are one type but require a different type of energy. I think it's made the meta and like constructing, you know, like archetypes for specific types of Pokemon is really like an interesting curve in like the development of the Pokemon trading card game.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, because there's so many more influences you have to watch out for, right? Like if you do ground types, now you have to not only do ground types, but something like Tyranitar EX, the one that requires fighting energies, like does that boost that too much? Like, is there too much boost to it? Like, it's really cool. But Charizard, I almost picked Charizard because one, it's really cool to have multiple stage twos in format, like you were mentioning, like Charizard and Pidgeot. I think Charizard is a really interesting card because it's like, I think Charizard EX is a really, really cool card. Like hitting early damage, right? Like 180, but then at the end of the game, the same attacker hitting like 300. I think it's just really, really cool as like time goes on in the game. But also just like Charizard's never really good. So it's also kind of refreshing in that aspect a little bit. But I think the biggest thing for me, oh my God, I'm going to lose. I had a really good, going second. I think a deck going second is really sweet.
Charizard
because
going
I
second.
Feel like, yeah, like. When was the last time we had a deck that wanted to go second primarily and was like one of the best decks in format?
I guess just Charizard, does it want to go second so that you can start the getting one knockout and then all of a sudden you're doing 210? Is that the goal?
Yeah, like, well, I mean, there's a couple different reasons for it, but at least in the mirror match, I think you want to go second.
Yeah,
as well.
True.
Well, you have the little Pidgey that has the thingamadoodah. Mm-hmm. What is that? The call for family. You have the call for family Pidgey that you can use to like get energies. There's other things that you can do as well. Like you can use a supporter to grab Arvin, to grab battle VIP pass.
Yep.
And like four seal stone for your Rotom, right?
Yeah.
So like, I think Charizard does want to go second, and like you mentioned, like going down and hitting 210 within your first attacking turn is not that bad for that deck. No. going to prize behind, hitting them on the odd curve. It's really interesting in that.
I think it's refreshing. I will say the one, you know, I'm thinking with the future with rotation, Battle VIP Pass will be gone, and so and I don't know if the call for family Pidgey rotates. No clue.
But no, it's the Pokemon 151 Pidgey.
Okay. The only other reason that I think maybe in the future you'll choose to go first with Charizard is you might play Charizard with Bombardier.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, depending on how your attachments go, you get Bombardier up in the active front first, use it as a battle VIP pass effectively. And then on turn two, you actually attack with the Bombardier to do setup damage so that Charizard can then come in and finish it off. Because the Bombardier, you just put back in your hand.
Hmm.
So, because Charizard only needs two energy to attack itself, right? So you attach, you evolve, put the three there, and then you just attach again to a Charizard later, and it's fine. Hmm. I don't know. That's my thought. Because I think when Battle VIP Pass rotates, I think people will have a very different take on, like, do they want to go first? How do they set up? And Charizard is definitely a big setup deck. So unless they print other setup cards, like big time ones, like I could see Charizard switching to a Bombardier build. But that's future thinking. We're looking back right now.
Yeah, we're gonna stick to looking back and looking back on our favorite worst deck.
Yep.
This is a fun one. Anyway, Sean, are you ready?
Yep.
All right, 3, 2, 1. Curlia, Palkia, V-Star. Oh, Fortress, man. I almost thought Aerodactyl. I thought you were going to say Aerodactyl.
I mean, but Aerodactyl's a good
Fortress
card.
Is good.
Yeah. So I'll start with mine. I think anyone who listens to the podcast regularly, they know my love for Fortress. I have a version built. It's not a good deck. I will tell anybody. But it's my favorite not a good deck because when it actually just runs, when you get that little turn two, setting your opponent down to two prizes, but also like a Roxanne or an Iono and a path out. Oh, the look on their faces before they even get to play a supporter or, you know,
it's the one in every five games where you just have the best hand possible and you just steamroll.
Yep. And your opponent sat there like, especially, I just also love the look on their faces. Like, anybody who's never seen Fortress doesn't know what, and then you're just giving away prizes and they're like, how does this work? And then you just, like, you know, you come back and you're like, you lock them, and then they're just like, I hate this, I can't even play. So it's not a control deck, it's just annoying. So
it's just it's fun, that's what it is. So but I like Fortress a lot too. I wish it was played more, especially like as a grass type and Charizard being so influential, but the prizes, man, I think maybe if it blew itself up and gave one less prize, I bet it would be played a lot more.
I think actually. It would be kind of broken.
Yeah, that would be crazy. I wish they did that actually. That would make things interesting. But
what was yours?
I picked Curlia and Palkia V-Star. It's the it's the one where you just use the Curlia trade engine. Refinement?
Yep.
Is that what it's called? You use the refinement draw engine. You draw like 1,000 cards in a single turn. And then you try to get to your end game of Celebrations Kyogre.
Okay. So you're just drawing through your deck to then Celebrations Kyogre. It's like bad Kyogre Lost Box, basically.
Yeah, it's pretty much that. And like Kyogre is almost up there as in like my best, the one that I chose, Miriam. Like that's up there in like, that's up there with Miriam. It was like 1 and 2 pretty much. Cause I really liked Kyogre. I thought Kyogre was so, so cool.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, no, I mean, that Kyogre is an awesome card. It's a weird one, though, because like it has so much potential, but it's so convoluted to pull it off that like...
Yeah, it's a puzzle.
Know. Oh, yeah, it's a puzzle. Some people love playing decks that are basically puzzles, but for me, I stress too much because like you make one little mistake at any point, and all of a sudden you're missing the one piece that you need. And I've seen so many games of players that play Kyogre and they're like, oh, I'm one energy short. And I'm like, that's why that deck is like so like scary, because like so often you're like one energy off.
The I've noticed with myself in the last year is I really like playing punishing decks. So like you talk about the like any Kyogre, like Palkia, Kyogre, stuff like that. I've played Lost Box decks in general, which lost box decks, whatever variant you kind of have, whether that's Giratina, you know, like the turbo with Dragonite Raikou or Gudra or something like that. Like it's punishing. If you make the wrong decision, and I've noticed it across other card games too, like people who may be listening to this for a while know that I've been playing a lot of One Piece lately. I've played some pretty punishing decks in One Piece.
Yeah.
Some that are like good decks, but some that are like my pet decks. And so like you're forced inherently at that point because you're not a great deck to play at, you know, top level the whole time.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to learn that about myself. Is that considered like being a masochist?
I mean, I think what you're really getting at though is that like they're punishing because they're forcing you to make a lot of decisions that don't leave room for mistakes.
It's a lot of like speed learning too, I feel like, at times.
And I sometimes those decks are the best decks to really learn a game more deeply. I think, you know, Firebox decks back in the day, I would say, because it was like a deck that taught you sequencing. I think Lost Box is a great deck that teaches you how to plan out your end game very early. Like it teaches you matchup understanding because everything you're loss owning, you're never going to see again. So like, do you need that card? Like, you know, and sometimes your choices are just terrible and you lose no matter what. But you know, most of the time it rewards understanding matchups. So, you know, I would encourage everyone to pick up at least one deck in that category if you're trying to just improve at the game. Because
2019 Pidgeotto Control. Bam.
Right. Honestly, like stuff like that, right? Like, whereas like, you know, Maridon and Chen Pao, don't get me wrong, they're great decks and a good pilot can do a lot with that. But the style of deck is that like you can kind of make a little mistake here and there, but you'll get, if you get to what you need eventually, it kind of doesn't matter. So.
It's this next one will be interesting. The MVP card. And I said that I was making these categories like as vague as possible, but realizing that I had best card and MVP card, I made a note after to tell Sean, like, hey, let's try to make these different cards.
Yeah, okay, for me, I'll just say my little how I made it different. I just thought of the card that like whatever deck it is in, it is such an important piece of that puzzle.
Oh,
but that for me, like that was like what I thought of when I thought of MVP. But
oh, that's interesting.
My criteria.
That's not what I thought of. So this will be fun. Anyways, the 3, 2, 1 battle.
Radiant
VIP
Greninja.
Pass.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, Radiant Greninja is kind of cool though.
Yeah, I do like battle VIP pass because it's still like we were talking about earlier in the decks that it's in.
Yeah, it's in like literally every deck.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is. Everybody plays it. And like whether or not you see it turn one can sometimes determine a game. Like I didn't, you know, and it's always the worst going. Like you go to your second turn and the top deck is a battle VIP and you're like, stop it.
If I had a dollar for every time somebody forced Sealstone for a battle VIP pass, I wouldn't need to have a job.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that pick though. I do.
Yeah. I mean, I like your pick too. Radiant Greninja is really cool.
Yeah. I for me, I like it because it's double utility depending on the deck. Like either it's just a very consistent draw engine. And you're just, you know, it's basically Kirlia with energy, except you don't have to evolve anything. But what I think pushes it over the top for me is that the decks that it's in, you actually start to consider, do I run a way to actually power this up now? You know, typically that's Lost Box, but like Chen Pao, it's a very viable threat against the setup deck. And then even in decks, like I have a friend who plays a Roaring Moon deck with the, whatchamacallit, the Professor Sada.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he'll run energy switches and he also runs water energy in the deck with his Radiant Greninja so that he can Sada water energies and then put them back onto the Radiant Greninja that way. And so like Dex just will find ways to make it work for them both ways. And I don't know, that's my thought.
Yeah. I mean, I think Radiant Greninja has been really, really nice. It's probably up there for a lot of people of worst card, depending on how you interpret it. Because I know a lot of people that are just tired of Radiant Greninja. They're ready to see it go.
Yeah. It's kind of the default Radiant. Like, if you don't have a reason to play any of the other ones and you have a single space, just throw in a Radiant Greninja.
Yeah. It's interesting. So, I mean, it's definitely the best Radiant Pokemon. I would say, right? It doesn't beat out Radiant Charizard. I mean, it does beat out Radiant Charizard.
Yeah, it definitely beats out Radiant Charizard. It just, but yeah. I will say Battle VIP Pass, though, that is a format warping card. I don't think Radiant Greninja is format warping.
Yeah. Battle VIP Pass is literally like define the format, I feel like. Like if we're going to talk about the top five cards, VIP Pass right there.
Yeah.
And then I think like four Seal Stones in that conversation too. Four Seal Stone might be above in the conversation because it's like literally a grab anything. And a lot of times it can be used for like Battle VIP Pass. So I don't know. Like if I had to choose between like, do I think Battle VIP Pass or your Four Seal Stone best card? I don't know which I would choose actually. It might actually be Four Seal Stone. But I think Battle VIP Pass, everybody's playing that. Everybody's playing that card.
Yeah, your card's everywhere. And unless you're playing a very specific deck that just has built-in search somehow.
Or your Celios network.
Right.
Or your Celios network not playing it.
So, all right, Jake, you want to introduce the next category? I want to see how you describe this one.
Well, I'm not really going to describe it at all until we say our answers. Okay. But I named this category. Are you ready, Sean? I named this category card that needs to make New Year's resolutions to find that how you want.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, Regigigas.
Alakazam EX.
Oh, Alakazam is a good one. I kind of forgot about that card.
That's why it needs to make resolutions.
It does. I think we were on the same track though of like how we interpreted this.
Yeah.
Why do you say Alakazam EX?
This isn't just because I was hyping the card up before it came out. I think...
Yeah, we love this card.
Yeah. I think the card itself, it's such an interesting mechanic to say you can attack from the bench that it's not necessarily even the card's fault. Like, it's that there's not the support around it to make it work.
It's too unique.
Yeah, and I get that Pokemon doesn't want to make it overpowered because if you could just sit your two prizer in the back, deal too much damage or make it so that it's impossible to ever get it into the active, that like that would be OP as a deck. But I don't know, there's a part of me that's just like, I think that this deck, this card needs to find a way, needs to find a deck. I don't exactly know where it lives, but I think partially too, you're in a typing that has so much competition right now in Psychic. You have the Kirlia engine, which is lovely, and you could play that with Alakazam.
Just a one of tech card.
Yeah, but like you've also got Gardevoir as your Psychic type attacker, and like I don't know, you just sort of start to sit in this space of like, if I'm going to run Psychic Stage 2, why would I pick Alakazam over Gardevoir at this point?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you have to commit at least two spots of Abra and Alakazam if you're already playing Rare Candies. And if you're not playing Rare Candies, you need to commit at least three. So it's a tough card to squeeze in.
Yeah, it's a weird one. But I think that, you know, Pokemon does a pretty good job recently in the last few years of like, printing a card, it feeling kind of underpowered, and then one or two cards are released in the future, and then all of a sudden, that card has potential again. So yeah, what about you? Why did you pick Regigigas?
Because Regigigas fell off, man.
Yeah.
Like everybody was playing Regigigas, and then Aurora Energy left, and then Regigigas is bad now. So I don't know. Regigigas needs to hit the gym, get an errata, or you know, like just... Get some special energy that help it.
Now, do the Regis that are in the Regi Giga stack, do any of them rotate such that you can't play it anymore?
I actually don't know.
Because I'm like, it could be great to make a resolution, but if it can't fulfill it, if it's like the day rotation hits, the deck's just done.
Do they all come out in the same set?
I don't think so they came out in the same set, but...
The Regigigas is Regulation F, Regice. I'm just looking. The Regice is F, so I think they're all probably... Maybe the only one that wouldn't have is Regidrago, because there's multiple Regidrago cards.
And there's multiple Regileckys as well, I think.
Yeah, the Regidrago that does 240 off 3 energy and like less damage as time goes on, that one's Regulation E, but the other one is Regulation F. And then okay. Regilecki. How do you spell Regilecki? I spelled it wrong.
Regilecki, maybe?
Oh, I spelled it right, but there were no cards that came up on it. Oh, well, anyways... I think most of the Pokemon are staying in format is what I'm trying to say.
There will be a version in F regulation of everything. It may not be the best version, but there will be a version.
Yeah. Okay. So I just, man, get good, Scrub. That's all I got to say to Regigigas. Come on.
I will say, I think that they will reprint a form of Rainbow Energy at some point because we lost Aurora. And it's kind of weird that there isn't a Rainbow Energy in
the only
right
one is Luminous.
Oh,
but that one's a little difficult with the Regis,
right?
Because like
more than one.
Yeah, your Luminous really limits you the number of other energies in the deck.
Maybe not. Maybe we won't see it again because maybe what's holding Rainbow back is whatchamacallit, Lugia. V-Star.
Yeah, I think I'm in the camp of we're not going to see it.
Yeah, I think they...
So he needs an errata with his ability.
yeah.
Only needs three of the four, or, well, wait, what? Three of the five? Three of the five. Or four of the five.
Now, question. Can Regigigas attach energy to other Regis if they are Vs and V-Stars?
I think so, actually. Yeah, so, I think they actually can.
Like, that might be how we see it change, is maybe there's some stage 2 EXs that come out that you play the Regigigas with, and that's how you power those up, and you can use the new Ace Spec energy, maybe, or whatever. Ah, that could be interesting. Random prediction.
Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting thought.
Yeah,
I don't.
I guess they wouldn't be stage 2 Regis, but they're you know what I mean, like EX Regis that you could play it with.
Yeah. Somebody build the deck and let us know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sean, the next one that I have is a little bit more self-explanatory. Your favorite poll. Your favorite poll.
Yep.
If you can remember, I put in parentheses because some of us open up a lot of packs in a single year. Definitely not me, you know. Anyways, 3, 2, 1. Special illustration Charizard EX.
Yep,
oh, you got the 151. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, the one, the little one that he's like flying over the mountain.
Yeah.
So
I've heard that's a pretty decent price, actually.
That it's just a cool card, you know. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Long term, I think the price will be probably decent. I think we're well past the era, though, of any of these cards having those crazy values just because it's been printed so much.
And now it's the norm to keep these cards for value instead of when you're like 8 and you write your name on them in pen. Because I definitely didn't do that growing up.
Yeah. So but that was mine. I mean, we both picked Charizard. I guess you picked the one that, like, sort of the crystal structure Charizard.
Yeah.
Nice. I did not.
I picked that one. I pulled that one in my Obsidian Flames booster box, and that one was cool, not only because I got that card, but I also got like another Charizard in that I got another Charizard in that box, and then I got the Gita special illustration, so like there was a full art trainer on top of that.
Good box.
And then there was something else. I can't remember the other product that I bought like on release day, but I got a third Charizard out of it. So I had like three Zards ready to play in a deck like right away. It was really cool on day one. But another reason why I really like the special illustration Charizard is because, like, if you listen back on the podcast when we talk about this card, we said this card like did not look good. Right? We actually didn't really like how the card looked, at least in the digital like announcement picture. Yeah, the renders. But I don't know, like pulling the card and then seeing it in person, it's a gorgeous card. Like once I pulled that card and like started seeing a lot of people posting about it and stuff, like I completely flipped on that opinion. So I think it was my favorite one to pull just because of that in itself. Like, yeah, it was so cool to get, and it was like the chase card it was like the hit card, you know, at the time. So it was cool to like get the number one card in the set from my booster box.
No, I remember you like telling me about like between that box and something else, like you'd pulled three Charizards, and I was sitting here like, I haven't pulled one and I want to play this stupid deck.
And I think you opened up more product than I did.
Yeah. I was just like, I just need a Charizard or two. And
my box was cracked.
Yeah.
My box was insane. It was an insane box, but the next one that we have is we have two more categories, and they're both a little bit more personal, not necessarily geared towards like specific cards or decks or anything like that. But resolution. Now I'm going to keep this more towards like a trading card game resolution, Sean, because we all know that I need to lose weight or whatever, or go to the gym, you know. But yeah, anyways, so this next one is going to be the resolution or goal. Take about it however you want. So 3, 2, 1. I want to do more commentary. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, shoot, man. I missed a really easy opportunity to match.
I will say it's TCG related because I want to meet you at maybe NAIC in New
Orleans. Probably the best bet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
New Orleans?
In Nollins. Yeah.
Nollins. Yeah, that's what it is. Dang it.
So
try to be funny. That's my new goal.
That's your new goal.
Yeah. Try to be funny.
Try to be funny is your new goal.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, I'm gonna keep my answer, but there's a
side quest.
Yeah, side quest, which is meeting Sean. Because despite the 3+ years that are we coming up on year 4 soon?
Yeah,
because the pandemic happened in March.
In 2020.
We're a couple months away from 4 years of this podcast.
It's crazy.
So I've known Sean almost 4 years, and I've never met the guy. So like, but we talk every single week. So it's like, sometimes I forget that fact. But
so the thing is, Jake, I will say this. I know you are a swimmer. I have no idea, but I know that a lot of people who swim at a very competitive like level, like college, tend to be very tall. I have no idea if you're tall, but I'm like, in my brain, I have no idea. You seem like you'd be my height, but like you're probably like 6 foot or 6 foot one. And I'm like,
I'm always sitting in a chair when you see me. You never see me standing up.
No.
Yeah.
And I did competitive swimming in middle school for like not for like a school, but for like a competitive team. I don't know. Do you know the Dallas Mustangs swim organization? I don't know if they were a thing.
Connected with like the southern area, like southwest southern area. So no, I never did
a brief stint with them. And then I was like, I don't like competitive swimming. It was too much stress. I was like, no.
It is a lot of stress. Yeah, it is.
But yeah. So anyways, my expectation is that my brain says that you're a certain height, but you'll be taller. But that's what I'll be interested in.
What's your guess?
I think you're taller than I expect. I like my brain says you're like 5'9", 5'10", but knowing competitive swimming, I'm like, nah, you're probably like 6 foot.
I'm 6'4".
You're 6'4"? No, that's a lie.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm 5'9".
That's a good lie.
I'm 5'9".
I'm like, that's, bruh, that would have been, I'm like, sitting down, man, you must have the tiniest chair in the world if you're 6'4".
I will say, though, like, a lot of people, like, sitting down, and this happens a lot in church, because I'll go to, like, I don't personally, like, go to church or anything like that, because I'm too busy, but, like, I go with my mother when I go home, so then, you know, she has someone to go with, and she doesn't go alone, because she likes that, doing good son things. But, like, so in the pew, I'll be, like, sitting straight up, and I have short legs, but I have a really long torso, so, like, sitting down, I, like, tower over everybody, because I have the swimmer torso.
Yeah.
But standing up, I'm the average white guy.
Ah, there we go. That's boy howdy. Okay, so that's my resolution. Yours is more commentary. Mm-hmm. Elaborate.
Yeah. I just want to do a lot more commentary. You know, we had the little stint, the one regional of doing commentary together, and that was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed that. But lately, in the last like month, for anyone who doesn't know, I actually made like a second YouTube channel and just did commentary on there of like matches and stuff like that. And I have loved it, and I want to keep doing it, and I want to do it more. And you know, whether it's just me doing it or we can align our schedules to like do more Pokemon, the secondary channel is more One Piece commentary than Pokemon. So if you only like Pokemon, meh.
Yeah,
maybe not the one for you. But I just really wanted to do it more because I just enjoy it. It's just fun.
I fully support that. I agree. Commentary is great. So I think we can make both of those things happen. So I think that's a good goal.
And then the final one that we've got is advice to listeners. And I've tried to, the only thing that I kind of alluded to was like, try to keep it shorter, you know, not like, oh, you need to make sure that you have proper sequencing by doing this before this or this or this or this. No, just keep it like a couple words. Yep. And so are you ready, Sean?
Yep.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Buy play sets of everything. Oh, dang. That's a lot more fun than what I said.
I feel like you're buy play sets of everything. I used to do that with Pokemon. And let me tell you, I had a lot of space and binders taken up.
Yeah. You do. So I said play sets of everything, and Pokemon is not as bad as like Bandai games. I don't know if this happens a lot in Digimon, but it's something that's happened in One Piece, at least. So like One Piece is a year old now. The cards have started for over a year. And the stuff in set one, right? Like I could have gotten a card at the beginning of the month for like $2, but there was just a buyout for it. And now to get the card, it's like $20 per.
Yep.
Like cards are way more volatile than Pokemon, but like I think so I've like developed this personal, you know, goal of like I'm just gonna get play sets of everything in One Piece, because One Piece doesn't have a rotation either. Like Digimon doesn't, right? Digimon doesn't have a rotation.
They do have a banned and restricted list. I don't know if
One Piece has, I mean, that's it. That. Yeah, One Piece has the same thing, but like fact of the matter is there's a lot of cards. And the old cards can get, does that volatile pattern happen in Digimon?
So yes, I think that's because the format, like what cards are viable and relevant in a format in Bandai games tends to, I think, swing way more than in Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
I have experienced the exact same thing. A card that like was $1 or $2, a month later goes up to like $20. And then a month after that, it'll go back down to $1 because they announce the next set and it's like, oh, this other deck is going to get way more support. People stop buying that. The only cards that have the potential to retain some value are promos.
Mm-hmm.
I think. But even then, Bandai eventually gets around to reprinting those cards or to like making them not really good anymore in terms of playability. So the one advice I will give you with Bandai, Jake, unless you really want to play a specific deck, don't overspend on any given card, because it will, if it's high now, it will drop down to a tenth of that price within a 3-month window, almost guaranteed.
No, yeah, what I'm gonna try to do is like buy all the cards that are really cheap right now, like under a dollar, and make sure I have like play sets of them. And then those cards, like I mentioned, that are like $20 right now, I'm just gonna wait until they go down.
Yeah.
For a specific window, whether that, I mean, only goes down to like 10 or 5 or something like that, but just I'm tired of, and this can translate into Pokemon, because like I'm tired of just like seeing a deck that I want to play and then not being able to play it because I don't have like these commons and uncommons because they're being like bought out or something like that. So as someone who's kind of come into the game late, my personal goal in trading card games in general is to just get a playset of everything minimum rarity. That's another key thing. Just go minimum rarity. And you could also go into this because Azul has done this too. He's talked about this a couple times. Like with Scarlet and Violet, he has just started buying play sets of everything minimum rarity. And he says it saves him like so much more stress in terms of like, you know, the night before a tournament or something like that, trying to go to card shops or talking to people, trying to get these cards, and me may or may not get them because everybody might be playing them, or maybe just nobody has it because it's an obscure card. So like it really helps. And if you can't financially do it because, well, card games, you know, expensive. One of the things that you can do is kind of like my secondary option is like pick a deck that you want to play and only build towards that deck. Like don't buy anything else and just build towards that.
I was going to say the one thing about One Piece and some other games is that I think One Piece, you're color restricted to your leader card.
Yes.
So that it helps dramatically if you're like, hey, until a new leader comes out that I'm just really interested in, you can kind of be like, I'll only worry about the cards in those colors.
Yeah. And so think of, helps. For people who don't know kind of what we're talking about, think of like GLC, where, you know, if you play a water deck, you can only have water Pokemon. Yeah. It's the same concept in that thing, in that aspect, except, you can play four ofs and stuff.
If I were to translate this to Pokemon, I actually think the biggest thing to give advice is buy play sets of all the trainer cards. And special.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah, that especially. Because
that's the stuff that, like, and sometimes, like, you know, you might need more, like, depending on how many decks you want to run at a time. But play sets of all the trainers, because you never know when a random trainer all of a sudden becomes really good. Like, how many people, when Arvin came out, were like, oh, Arvin's great. And do you need four of them in your deck? Probably not. But if you just kind of skipped over it and didn't get any Arvins, it's mildly annoying if you don't have one or two. Mm-hmm. Same thing with like Roxanne or
I mean, good thing Arvin was printed in like literally three sets.
Yeah. Or like Misfortune in the last Sisters. Year. I think Misfortune Sisters is a good example of like a really obscure trainer that you probably never thought was gonna ever see play. All of a sudden a stall deck plays it, and you're sat there like, I wish I had them now, and most local card shops won't carry them because it wasn't
Box of Destruction.
Yeah, but so
that's another card.
That's the one piece of advice. You don't have to worry too much, I think, about Pokemon, because when Pokemon, usually like the ones that are going to be popular are pretty popular soon after they're printed. But
and I think it's also like good to just like get probably like the ultra rares of the Pokemon in like playsets. So like the V's, the V stars, V maxes, if you could. But that's like the trainers and special energy. Most important, then you go into the Pokemon ultra rare kind of thing, and then you go into everything else if you want. But that's a lot of cards.
My camera got a little bit quiet here, but you know, we can probably finish the episode as is.
Oh yeah, we'll be all right. And that was, well, you said have fun, Sean. Do you want to talk more about that, I guess?
yeah. In terms of have fun, it's basically, I think, you know, you can be competitive. That's not to say that, you know, winning isn't something you should strive for. But at the end of the day, you're going to have ups, you're going to have downs. Even the best players in the world have bad tournaments. But if you can't find a way to enjoy it and to have fun with it,
all it's going to do is going to burn you out if you are feeling really competitive. And I think that goes for, like, if you have a deck that you don't think is the best deck in the world, but you enjoy it, find a way to play it at random locals, take it to a challenge even, right? Unless you're like, really, like, I need those points for worlds. And people will appreciate I appreciate people who bring decks that I don't expect. Even if I win, lose, doesn't matter, just because, like, it's cool seeing something different. So that's what you get from having fun.
That's kind of like, that was one of my pretty much like, I guess you could say like goals of last year was like play, like don't play. I've really come to find enjoyment of not playing like the best deck or the most popular deck. Like what are the decks that I've played? I've played the Curlia Palkia V-Star deck. Mm-hmm. I played United Wings for a little bit. I played Lost Box Gudra for a little bit too late, I would say, after it like had the peak of popularity, but still, yeah. And I guess I played a little bit of Charizard EX, but that was before I was playing Charizard EX before like Azul and Grant and Caleb like cracked it to what it is right now. So, well, I wouldn't, it's probably the best deck that I've played this year, Charizard EX, but not like an overly dominating deck. And then like in One Piece and Weiss Schwartz, I've also played like more off meta decks and just trying to have fun, you know, with decks that I want to play rather than ones that I feel like I need to win.
Yep.
It's been really nice.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was Fortress EX and Wigglytuff EX. That's my, like, weird...
Wigglytuff EX. I can't believe you didn't mention that in any of yours.
Oh, man. It was good. It was fun. It was definitely... I went down 6-1 against my opponent, and I came back and won that game with Wigglytuff. Because I got my little combo of, like, energy on, you can't knock it out, I keep doing damage, and boy, howdy, that felt good.
Boy, howdy, it was awesome. But...
Yeah.
So those were some good ones. I still can't believe we got Klefki the same. That's an all-time moment in in the Metapod podcast history books for all you historians out there. But one of the things that also goes down in the history books, Sean, at least for the Metapod podcast, is we were right. You may have heard a little bit last week with the A-Specs introductions, and we kind of speculated what some of the A-Specs that came, and again, I talked about it a little bit last week, so we won't go in super, super, super detail, but 3 A-Specs were introduced in the last couple weeks to kind of preview the return of A-Specs, and we got one right. We got Master Ball right. So if there's anything that we get right on this podcast, we've gotten Level Ball and Master Ball.
Yeah. And I mean, like, look, this one kind of starts to make sense when you know we're losing Nest Ball, we're losing Battle VIP Pass. We're not losing this, but we're losing Battle VIP Pass, we're losing Fog Crystal, and we're losing Level Ball. So, like, that's a lot of Pokemon search. It just feels like the right time to print Master Ball as an A-Spec. And they'll probably print some other Pokemon search card as well. One, I think, theory I got from, maybe I mentioned it on the podcast, but someone else was, maybe Pokemon Communication makes a comeback. I wouldn't hate seeing that.
I don't think it would be an A-Spec, but I do it's a card that needs to be reprinted for sure. I miss that card a ton. I want that card back. I miss her. And I also miss Ditto. Prism Star Ditto, please.
I mean, can you imagine if they reprinted that as an A-Spec? Jake would be through the moon for an A-Spec Prism Star Ditto.
The only thing is, like, unless they made A-Specs not trainer cards.
Yeah. Well, there's a special energy. We were wrong about that. There's a special energy aspect.
Well, it's still a...
It's not
I guess it's not a trainer
energy
card, yeah.
Anything is possible now.
Yeah, anything's possible. Okay, we'll see it.
But yeah, I think Master Ball, getting you any Pokemon when you like, I think it's a good utility A-Spec, but I think when you mentioned it, and I think what a lot of people have talked about is that, like, it is probably the... maybe second best of the 3 that we got, like the middle of the road. Like, you could put it in any deck, but it's not going to make or break a game, you know?
But wasn't great when it was first printed.
Yeah.
It's not really great now.
I think the one card, though, that everybody was talking about, and we can go over it, what it does, and then we could just discuss our feelings, which is Prime Catcher, which is the A spec that's just basically Boss's Order. Actually, it's Guzma as a
It's Guzma,
which is your opponent switches, and then you switch your active to the bench as well as an item card.
And you force the switch for your opponent. Yep. It's not like Escape Rope where your opponent chooses. You choose which Pokemon to bring up on both sides, basically.
Exactly. So it's the perfect kind of card if you're even on prizes or if you're the first one trying to take an attack and go up on the prize trade. Outside of that, I think it's not a bad moment for it to be printed because we also have Counter Catcher. So you do open up comeback mechanics to the opponent as a response play. So I think in that respect, it's actually not as broken for me as I think people are making it out to be, because your opponent has a response option. But, you know, what do you think?
I hate this card.
Oh,
I don't. Guzma, as a supporter, was played in every single deck when it was printed, or just about every single deck when it was printed. It definitely dominated the game in terms of supporters, you know, being one of the best supporters, the staple supporter. Now we have it in an item card. We have to kind of like counterpoint a little bit, like, I think because we have Counter Catcher, we don't need this card. I think that, I mean, it's only like a one of that you can put in your deck, but that's just another card to worry and think about, especially because I think this card is also miles above the others, in terms of viability. I don't like the direction of where this was. I mean, think I'd almost rather have a computer search reprint.
I don't know. I take your point that it's so much better than the others. And the last one, for those who maybe didn't listen to last week, there is a Neo Upper Energy. It basically provides two rainbow energy, but only to a stage two Pokemon. So, you know, good in a very specific situation.
It's good.
But yeah. It's a good card, but it's a, you know, I don't know of a lot of stage two decks that don't have an energy acceleration component as a part of it. And I think that would be the only thing with this card that I'm like, you know, we're losing Shining Arcana Gardevoir to rotation when this comes out. So it's not like you can even play this in that type of deck. So, but yeah, I think I get your point though, that in those three options, this one is clearly like the best. Like there's not even a debate.
Prime Catcher is the best. I think I'd feel better about Prime Catcher, because you talked about, you know, avenues of opponents being behind or being ahead on prizes, you know, or not having to be behind. And to that, I say they've made Boss's Orders like a literal staple in format, basically, like a card that will always be present in, like, at least from Sword and Shield to Scarlet Violet. Or whatever.
I mean, yeah, it's like research where they've decided almost that this is an evergreen card.
So I think having Counter Catcher and Boss's Orders in a format is enough. I just, especially because we also have, well, Escape Rope is rotating.
It is.
Right? Because it's battle styles.
Yeah, Escape Rope will be rotating, which is weird.
So that is one less. But I don't know. I don't like the idea of having all three of those together. And again, it's only a one of, so like, is it really that big? Who knows, but searchable via Arvin, right? That'll stay for a while because Arvin's been reprinted.
Arvin's a great card.
I don't know. I mean, we lose Battle VIP Pass, we get Prime Catcher.
I guess it doesn't make me feel good. I guess I think to myself, what are common mechanics that typically are too powerful to be put on an item that, you know, you could choose? And I think, you know, looking in the past, your point about computer search, for me, the more I think about it, Forest Seal Stone and Arceus V-Star are going to remain in format for another year.
Yeah.
Right. And I think having computer search alongside RCS V-Star and Forest Seal Stone. Granted, you can't do both of those in a deck, but being able to do Forest Seal Stone and Computer Search in a deck feels broken, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, my theory is that we won't get Computer Search until the next rotation, or if we do get it, it will be a very narrow window in which it's in the same format as those. I could have seen them reprint Dowsing Machine instead of this effect, too. Because getting any card back from your discard,
the trainer card, I think.
Yeah,
I think it's just a trainer card.
But still, like, you know, you have plenty of effects for most of the other stuff. But that I could see, and I think we will probably see that as a reprint sometime this year. I don't think that is totally broken. But I don't know. Like, a gusting effect is really powerful, and they have to make A-Specs desirable. So knowing you're not going to do Computer Search, I don't know. It's what other?
I think Master mechanic? like if you took out Prime Catcher and just had Master Ball and the energy, I think like Neo Upper Energy, I think those two are perfectly like desirable, like A-Specs. Like I think they're just not desirable because of Prime Catcher. That's because like Master Ball, like,
who wouldn't
Master
that?
Ball makes your deck 59 cards basically, right? Because it's a card, it's an item card that allows you to grab any of your Pokemon. No restriction, no cost like Ultra Ball, no requirement to put it on the bench like Nest Ball. Like it's almost like a 59 card deck in a sense for setting up, setting up your deck. It's another out to find like, you know, Pokemon on the first turn, especially after Battle VIP Pass. It's an out to find your evolutions, right? So I think Master Ball would be played a lot if Prime Catcher didn't exist. Hot take.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I think Master Ball might have been the go-to if Prime Catcher wasn't announced first.
Well, here's what I'll say about all that is with Level Ball, Battle VIP Pass, and Fog Crystal rotating, I do think... I wonder if Pokemon in the next set will actually withhold a certain amount of Pokemon search in order to encourage people to use Master Ball. Just because, like, what do you have? You have four Nest Balls, four Ultra Balls. Maybe that's enough. You know, that
no,
might be enough.
No, because I think,
but...
do we have, what is where Gloria, what regulation is Gloria? Is she long gone?
What is Gloria?
She's E. So she'll be rotating. Gloria is a supporter card. Search your deck for up to three basic Pokemon that don't have a rule box and put them on your bench. It's like rotating. A Bridget.
Yeah,
I know. I was wondering what regulation market had, but I wonder if there's like a supporter like that in the F regulation, you know, in the next rotation that kind of fills that gap a little bit of like getting Pokemon. I don't have...
There's Jacques, which allows you to get two evolution Pokemon.
Yeah.
But, you know...
But that's not... And it could be something that they eventually put out.
Well, but that's my thought, right? It's like, I wonder if in order to make Master Ball more appealing in the first set, that they don't immediately give us better Pokemon search. So you actually are kind of in this awkward spot of, well, do I want to make my deck more consistent and throw in Master Ball and just know that I'm going to get a boss. You know, if you play the Pidgeot line, you don't really need Prime Catcher because, I mean, it's nice, but if you play the Pidgeot line, you can just go grab your boss's order from that. So, I don't know. This one will be interesting to me. But
yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we have a supporter like Bridget or Gloria. That's going to stay just looking.
Yeah. But anyways.
Which means that we're due for another.
Oh, yeah. Yes, this is true. But yeah, so I think those are our hot takes on the A-Specs. We'll see. I mean, I think Prime Catcher is obviously head and shoulders above the other two in a vacuum. Assuming we have all the other cards we need for a deck. But... You know, I wonder if the next set, you know, if they go with Dowsing Machine in the next set, I do think it starts to become like an awkward question then of like, ooh, what do you play? Do you play?
Which, well, I think with Boss's Orders and Counter Catcher, you always play Dowsing Machine.
Right. So then does that, you know, I think it starts to become an interesting question then of like, if they make one every mm-hmm. set that feels like it's that powerful, then Prime Catcher becomes much less of a problem within a couple of months of its release.
And especially because the original run of A-Specs, it was from 2012 Boundaries Crossed to 2013 Plasma Blast. There were 13 of them total. Mm-hmm. And so only knowing three of the new A-Specs that'll be running, we can assume that there are going to be more. I don't know if there's been a... I don't know if there's been like a set number that's been announced. I don't believe so, but I think there's a safe assumption that in maybe the sets that these are going to come in for, what is it, Wild Force and Cyber Judge, there may be more. And then in future sets, like you said, there may also be more.
Yeah.
Probably in future sets, I would think. Three in two Japanese sets releasing at the end of the month feels a little bit big if they go more. I could see maybe one more, two in each of the like sets.
Yeah, that would I do agree that it might be one more that we hear about, because they'll probably mm-hmm. put two in one set, two in another, and then it'll just be packaged as all four, but you never know.
Yeah.
The only other card that I will mention, because I think this card gets more relevant with A-Specs, is Roseanne's Backup.
Oh yeah.
Because yeah. Roseanne's Backup lets you choose any number of these, which is shuffle a Pokemon, a tool, a stadium, and an energy. So while you won't be able to get back the Prime Catcher, you know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of other cards. Like, you'll get back the energy if they make ones in the future that are stadiums, which I don't think is out of the realm of possibility, or mm-hmm. tool cards seems... you know, kind of likely, considering that's a lot of them in the past were tools.
Bring back Ditto Prism Star.
Right. If they do Ditto Prism Star. So I think Roseanne's Backup over time, like, you know, could become a more interesting card as a one of.
Mm-hmm. It'll be curious to see how it goes. And we'll talk to you about it when and if it does. But Sean, do you have anything else for our first episode of 2024?
No, Happy New Year. That's it.
Happy New Year. Hopefully you enjoyed your time with your families, or if you know, spent it by yourself, hopefully you had just an excellent time in general. Look forward to this year and more episodes of the Metapod Podcast, the Pokemon podcast that revolves around the evolving meta. I'm Jake, that's Sean. Have a great rest of the day and good start to the year.